Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, this first half, I'll give you a recap of the Kansas City trip and to my trials and tribulations with the parking. And also, we'll play an old interview I did with Evel Knievel. First, there's Geico. Do you own? Do you rent? We do one or the other. And then there's your automotive policy. How about you bundle them up? Take your automotive and you bundle it with your renters or your homeowners insurance and save a whole bunch of dough. Geico makes it easy to get your bundle working. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save and how easy it is to save when you bundle at geico.com.
Hey, what's up? I'm Breezy. I'm an actor, artist, a rapper. I am an entertainer, and I star on the hit TV show All American.
Doug Ellen. I created a small hit show. You may have heard of it. It's called Entourage.
Actually, Doug is kind of a big deal. We want you to check out our new podcast called Hollywood Waves. Each week, we're pulling back the curtain on Hollywood to give you VIP access to what's really going on down here. We're going to tell you where to eat, what to see, who to meet. In between the two of us, we've definitely seen it all.
And we've eaten it all. Breezy, we're going to watch favorite movies of all time, from Airplane to Soul Plane. Maybe. I can't wait to hear what you think. And our friends in the business, writers, directors, restaurateurs, actors.
And I'm super, super excited. I have so much to learn. And I'm new to Hollywood. Doug's been here forever.
And it's so sad because I am old. I made a movie called Fat Beach in 1996 for $100,000.
Fat Beach is definitely one of my favorite movies. Yeah. I don't care what Doug says. Long live Fat Beach.
I appreciate that.
Check
a lot.
Out our new podcast, Hollywood Ways, with Doug Ellen and me, Breezy, coming soon to all podcast platforms.
September 9th.
Let's go.
We're inside the toolbox reflecting on the New York City homecoming concert last month. The one that got shut down during Barry Manilow's set because of a possible lightning strike. You probably only remember Colbert doing the cha-cha-cha with Chuck Schumer. But yeah, they pulled Manilow off the stage and ended the show. Listen, if you're in a rock show and you get struck by lightning, that's just Bon Scott's ghost blessing you with the rock. Accept it and move on. This is the toolbox.
Her name was Lola. She was a showgirl.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, Sonny Carolla gives us his NFL picks, and we'll play the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, the white face of black supremacy, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. The truth is going to manage to get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian.
Cool.
Oh, young Sonny's going to come in. I think he'll play the Rotten Tomatoes game with us, too, because he loves himself some movies. So we'll see how he fares in that. All right. So much to talk about. Just got off the road. Literally drove straight here from the airport.
From KCI International?
Yes, International. Oh. That's a little airport.
Yeah, with three little terminals.
They're building a big airport next to it, it looks like. But yeah, so we met down in the lobby at 5:30, which would have been 3:30 our time. So we got up about 3 and just hustled the hell out of there because today's football. And now as you hear this, we'd already watched football, but today's the first week we're going to watch football. So Sonny came down.
Moments away from kickoff.
Cannot wait for that.
How did you enjoy my fair city?
We went to Q39 Barbecue, which is a barbecue joint that was highly recommended. We got the brisket. Yeah, it's a newer place. Yeah. Everything was delectable. They have regular tea.
Yeah, we're not in the South.
Yes, Mike got himself an Arnold Palmer, which has not been fucked up by the stupid passion fruit tea, because the passion fruit tea fucked up tea, and it fucked up the Arnold Palmer as well, because now you got lemonade with passion fruit, now you got this weird compote clusterfuck. Anyway, so back where, you know, place, that's a... I could probably judge where I'd like to live based on their tea. There is no such thing as regular tea in L.A. You cannot get regular tea. It's all passion fruit. Mm-hmm. It's done. But if you go to places to appreciate tea, like KC. Yeah.
Tokyo Live Show coming up.
We got on it. So we played the shows. The theater was amazing. I told Chris to take some pictures. It's a ornate, beautiful, magnificent theater.
I know it as the Midland. It's become the Arvest Theater, but it's beautiful.
It is ornate. It doesn't even do it justice.
So it's beautiful.
That's the view. We'll put them up at adamcarolla.com. The view from the stage is amazing, although they just hit you with the spotlight and everything's dark, so you can't see anything. But, I mean, it is just a magical theater that they would never build again today. Had a little...
Did Sonny go on the trip with you, or did he meet you here today?
No, he met us here today. We just made it here in time to do the show. Not that the show would have started without us. I don't like to make people wait. So we called the time. I was going good, and then we ran into a little kerfuffle in the LAX parking lot.
Shocking.
We had Mike, we had Chris, we had me, and we're all down at the baggage carousel, and we just got off the plane. So I said, why don't you guys wait for the bags? I'll go to the parking structure, I'll get the car, and I'll come around and pick you up.
Great plan.
Mike, his best, he commandeers those rollers, those bag carriage rollers. He finds one everywhere. He throws all the bags on it. He commandeers them. And so all the bags were on the roller.
Yeah, I try to look for him, but I can't.
You can't. So only Mike. He's like one of those truffle picks. Right. So I was standing there and I said, okay, I'll go get the car. Now all the bags were on the rollers. I took about 25 steps toward where the parking structure was, and then I paused and I realized my wallet is in my backpack, which is with the bags on the roller. But then I stopped and I went, no, I have my phone, and my phone has my credit card on it, because the last time we took off for Alaska, something happened to my Ryan, whatever, with my credit card, but we got it onto my phone. So I've been frequently using my phone at gas stations and things like that to pay for.
I mean, I realized as soon as the word came out of my mouth, I shouldn't have asked.
No, but it's just the credit.
Magic money.
My credit card is on my phone. Okay. And you just slap it at the restaurant. You put it on the reader. Yep. You put it everywhere. So I paused. Mm-hmm. And I was like, should I turn back and go get my wallet? And then I thought, well, no, I have this on my phone. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to journey on.
What could go wrong?
Went on, got in the car, pulled out, gave the guy my ticket, and $104, by the way, for 2 days. And the guy was like, what is, you know? And I'm like, "This the card, it's on the card, just scan it on the thing." Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, okay. And he's like, at a certain point, I knew I was doomed because he had the back of the phone, not the front with the screen on it, but the back
of the
phone.
The part with the pop socket.
And he was banging it against the card slot. The slot. The slot. No, not the swipe slot, just the vaginal slot. He was banging the back of the phone against it. And it was like, it was like 2001. It really was.
You felt like
the apes and the monolith.
Yeah.
Right. And the guy was just like looking at me like, what is this? And I was like, it's my credit card. You just scan it. And he's banging against. I was like, I don't think it works that way. You have a reader? And he's like, no, what is, you know? And I thought, first thought is like, what fucking year is it? We're in L.A. This is L.A. These are everyone's paying $50 a night for parking. There has to be. I cannot be the only. Why is everything a fresh sheet of paper? You've never seen this before. No one has ever pulled their phone out and had their credit card in Los Angeles in 2021 in the most expensive parking in the land. This has never happened. You have no context. You have no idea.
And one of the silver linings of COVID was that we went contactless.
Yes,
for everything.
Right. Touchless.
You could tap to pay or you could hold your phone up. And here we are at LAX, supposedly on the cutting edge.
Right.
And, you're banging
cash
your
only.
Phone.
This guy's just looking at me like, what else you got? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't have anything else. I have this. And of course, there's cars pulling up behind me, you know. And then he has to get his supervisor in here, and she doesn't I can't understand a fucking word she's saying. And then he's like, all right, show me your ID. Where is your ID? And I said, I don't have anything. It's all with my wallet. I have this. I have this. And he's like, well, this is no good. You know, and of course, they're never going to let you go on this $104 bar tab.
No,
there's
no,
nothing.
Please.
No.
And so, $4 would be a bridge too far.
So then he was like, we have to call the police. And I was like, okay, well, call the police. They're going to verify my ID or something, but I don't have an ID, you know.
That's and a then, good use of the police time.
And then I go, should we just call 911? And he's like, no. But again, I can't really understand what he's saying because his English is so bad, and then his supervisor's English is so bad. And at some point in the middle of all this, Mike calls, and he's like, we got our bags, we're at terminal, whatever. And
run
I go,
over.
Mike, you know, get my backpack and run over. And then I'm trying to describe where I am. I'm in the big parking thing with the thing. I'm facing the other direction. I'm leaving. And this guy's, of course, parking people are the worst people in the world. They, by the way, they have less trust than my grandmother did when I would leave with Tupperware. Like, I was like, look. Open the gate. Let me just pull off to the side. No, you know, like of course, because I'm moving to Mexico. I'm going to start a new life. You know what I mean? Because there's no way that gate's opening, and you're going to. So then he's like, back it up, you know. And there's cars, and I have to go back. And I'm trying to describe to Mike, like, walk towards Southwest, then turn right. And then I'm on the
Sunday morning at 8:55 in the morning. No, yes. No one wants to be there. They've all traveled all night.
There's construction everywhere. He's got to go over the barrier. You know, finally, thankfully, Mike shows up and we pay the tab and we get on our way. All right. So other thoughts.
That's why you always got to keep $100 in your car.
I know. But that wouldn't have done it.
Wouldn't have helped.
It was 104 and there's no way they would let you go. No, it's on me because I got 80 feet away from my bag, and I stopped.
You made the decision.
And I was like, my wallet's back in that bag. And I was like, ooh, I got this magical phone. Also, I'm constantly trying to move myself up into the decade we're living in, which is everyone uses their phone now. Why can't you use your phone? You have this on your phone. I'm sure they have a reader. It's L.A. Come on, baby. So I was like, no, use your phone. And nope,
look
no can
you.
Do. So I was thinking about a couple things. First off, I was in line yesterday signing autographs after the show last night in Kansas City, and somebody came up to me, gave me a rich man, poor man.
Oh.
I wrote it down. It was...
is that on your hand?
Yeah, what
I wrote,
was that?
That's good.
You did a little Senior Wences thing.
I wrote on my hand because...
What else did you write it on?
I have a pen. I had my Sharpie to sign everyone's books. And that's all I had.
Got it.
And when he told me, I just wrote it on my hand.
Should we just read your hand?
Well, it says Al.
Oh, okay.
Which is enough for me, but maybe not enough for you, which is in Rich Man, Poor Man, takes photo ops with Al Sharpton.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
That's good, right?
Yeah. It's like the president visits your town.
Right. Right.
He's either there to rack up
FEMA
some money
in
Bel Air, or the fucking hurricane just decimated it.
Right.
That's
so I wrote that down. Also, I was thinking about, since I was on stage last night, it was the 20th anniversary of 9/11, and everyone was kind of thinking about their 9/11 thoughts, and, you know, everyone's telling the story of where they were, here's what I heard, whatever. I had a very weird telling 9/11 story, which is I woke up, I guess we're doing the man show about that time, and I was doing Loveline at night, and I came down. I would go to bed at 2 a.m. and get up at 9:15 or something. So I got down the stairs, you know, this had already happened essentially, I think. And there was a phone machine. Remember phone machines?
Yep.
And it was my stepmother. And all she said was, you should go turn on the TV set. Not in a panicked or rushed kind of way, just turn on the TV set. That's all I got. So I did, and then I found out about it. But it was kind of interesting. I've never spoken to anyone in my own family about 9/11. This was my stepmom. Really? My stepmom probably realized that my dad wouldn't pick up the phone.
He did the math on no one contacted
you. He did the math on my mom, too.
Yep.
And so she called and said, you should pick up the phone. And then later, And it's one of the earliest podcasts we did, but I did get into it with Seth MacFarlane, who famously was going to be on the first or second plane that hit the tower.
Flight 11 or something.
Yeah, leaving Logan, running late, missed his plane, and then sat at the airport bar in Logan and like watched a plane that he was supposed to be on. Like, everyone does those stories where it's like, coulda, woulda, shoulda, but when you really start drilling down on their story, it wasn't really like they were that close right. to whatever it is. This is him rushing to the airport,
yeah.
trying to get on the plane that hit the tower and missing it.
Yeah.
And it's in one of the earliest podcasts I did. He just came over to my house and we did it. But he has no thoughts about it. There's no thoughts about his purpose on life. He didn't rearrange any of his priorities. Wow. It was just, I wasn't on the plane. And here we are.
That's amazing on two levels, that he's not like, so that is why I have dedicated my life to the following. Like, It just is what it is. I'm going to be a one downer. You know, I got fired from the J Street gym right next to the towers right before that happened.
Right before?
Yeah, a couple, maybe.
What were you doing at the gym?
Distracting customers.
Running on the treadmill in the window again?
That's exactly right. I moved to New York that summer. And couldn't find a job, and you know, it was a whole clusterfuck. And then somebody had a lead on like a gym receptionist, you know, just checking people in. Mm-hmm. And I really needed it. And I lived in Queens, and that's really far away. Mm-hmm. And so she asked me where I lived, and I made up some address really close to the gym. And then somebody, I don't know how, somebody ratted me out. And this crazy gym woman, at the time, seemed very old, called me screaming at me, calling me a liar, and saying, you know, what? I'd never work at a gym in this town again or something, and screamed at me and hung up the phone. So I didn't get that job, and I'm very grateful for that.
I will say something about your great town of Kansas
Please.
City. But again, my first thought with everything when a town does something right was, oh, wow, this is – and my next thought is, what the fuck? Why doesn't L.A. do so connect? We got picked up by the Uber at 5:45 KC time this morning. So It was dark outside. Mm-hmm. And we got an Uber and we had to make our way through downtown and then get on the freeway and get out to the airport, which is a little bit out of town.
Yeah.
As we were going through downtown, I noticed that all the red lights were flashing.
Sure.
And I said to the driver, how does this work? And he goes, oh, they all flash because people come out of the bars at night and they don't put it on until about 3 a.m. From like 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. they just flash because there's nobody there and you'd be an idiot just sitting at a red light
waiting would.
Endlessly. And I was like, there is a technology. Other towns get it. Like, yeah. They figured it out. They're like, people shouldn't be sitting here at 4:30 in the morning just waiting endlessly for the signal to turn. Why not? Where's the technology? Why don't we implement any of this stuff?
So out here, a flashing red means stop sign. Out there, does it just mean caution?
It means
a regular.
No, it means stop, but you don't have to wait.
Use your common sense.
You know what we're talking about?
The signals. It would seem like a flashing yellow light would be the most efficient, right? Just keep going.
Well, then people would slow down and T-bone each other.
Oh, shit.
People aren't that smart.
No, they're all flashing in all directions.
Okay, I got you.
Right. So you just stop and nothing's going on because it's 5:45 right. in the morning and then you drive on. You don't just sit there waiting for this thing to cycle. We don't do it with red arrows. We don't do it with red lights. Yeah. We don't. Ooh. Everything flashes. Everyone stops, and then you move on.
You know what I just saw the other day at Sawtelle in Washington, pretty major intersection in Culver City, flashing yellow arrow.
Nice.
Basically, just caution. Just go
Good.
If you can.
It'd be nice.
You didn't get a chance. You didn't go to see the big badminton sculpture at the Nelson Atkins Art Museum. Did downtown still smell like Folgers? That's where the Folgers plant was.
The whole place smelled like barbecue as we were walking through it.
That's good.
There was a place on the corner called the Axe Thrower or something. It was a bar where people threw axes and served booze. I don't know.
Feels like a weird combo.
Not in Kansas City.
Actually.
We were going to call it Open Wounds and Salt, but we decided to go with booze and axes.
We're going to call it Shoot This BB Gun in Any Direction.
Right.
Wounds and Suds.
Yeah. So there was that. There was I told Max Zapata philosophically, because Mike and I were flying in first class, but first class isn't first class. No, oh, but I said to him, listen, there is no more first class. There is, this time we got a box. The box didn't even have hummus in it. It just had smaller pouches of jerky and nuts and crackers. Like, they now give you a box with smaller boxes inside of the box. And, you know, Chris was like, stuff that comes out of a vending machine. No, not stuff that comes out of a vending machine. Stuff that comes out of a vending machine is like Bugles and Funyuns and Payday Bars and
off-brand
Fritos and shit people want. Not miniature Mylar sacks of Fiesta Mix that nobody wants. The actual vending machine in the hallway of a prison is better than what they give you in that box. But I said to Chris, I go, look, here's the thing. It's no more, there's no more food, there's no more service, there's no more anything. All you have is about 20% more seat. You don't have double the seat. You got about 20% more seat. Now, I said to Chris in the lobby of the hotel at 5:30, I go, I am 20% bigger than you. Yeah. So when you go to coach, it's exactly the same experience as I have in first class, given our size difference. Except for, it was actually worse for me and Mike.
Yeah, because coach was pretty empty.
Coach was empty.
This happens every time.
The poor man's first class.
And we had and one thing I didn't include, but it's true, you do get to use the bathroom was a little close to you. Our bathroom was on the fritz. So we had a maintenance thing that put a piece of tape, put a piece of tape over it. And if you wanted to go to the bathroom, you stood up and walked to the back of the plane.
Yeah.
So that was that.
And you did, and you had even less room because the guy in front of you was just leaning.
The guy in front of me, not his fault. I don't know. You guys tell me where you're at. I said, well, let's spring for a first class ticket for Mike. So Mike sat next to me in first class. Now it's a miniature first class, but it's still first class. And Mike, we're in the second row. He has nobody in front of him.
Okay.
There's no human being there.
Good.
I am sitting against the window, which I like, and I do have somebody in front of me. The person in front of me reclines their seat, but their seat is broken, and it tilts back another 3 inches.
Okay.
So not only does it recline, but then it falls back a little more. Now, it's not physically touching me, but it's kind of up on me.
The whole idea of first class is it shouldn't matter how far they're reclining because it's an epic amount of room.
They're nowhere
near
you.
It's a 737. It's like a miniature plane. There is no first class. Now, I started to have the feeling, and this is what it was. So I was like, this guy was leaned back. He was reclined. I reclined too, but then his fell back because his seat was broken. So it was starting to drive me insane. It was driving me insane, and I realized the feeling I was having, because I could close my eyes and pull my hat down over my face. By the way, if you don't want to wear your mask on an airplane, just take your baseball hat and pull it over your head. That's science. You can literally pull the mask down as long as you cover your face with a baseball hat.
I didn't realize that.
Oh, you got to cover up the little air holes on it, but it's science.
Yeah.
I've never been bothered when I pulled the hat over my face. But in a weird way, I feel the guy there, even though I'm not physically touching him. It's sort of like when you try to make yourself throw up and you put your finger down your mouth. You don't have to touch anything.
Nope.
You can feel
your receptors
it, you know.
Know.
So Mike says, do you want to switch seats? And I'm like,
kind of,
but I don't want to. Why? I don't like that person that switches seats, but I did buy him his first class ticket, and he has nobody in front of him, and his seat's not even, the seat in front of him is not leaned back. It's straight up.
Is he going straight into work from the airport?
Oh, that's a good call. Yeah. Zero. Right. No. But I'm complaining the whole time, like, God damn it, like I'm going nuts. But he's like, we can switch seats. But I'm like, no.
You listen to me complain for another 2 hours.
Should I have swapped seats?
Yeah, you had every right to swap seats, especially if he offered. If you had tapped him on the shoulder, but hey, bro, maybe it's a little, you know, a little much, but he offered. Take him up his offer.
Was every other seat in first class taken?
No, I could have probably got out sat next to this person that was overly reclined.
And then recline on Mike.
Yeah, and then reclined on Mike.
Sweet irony.
All right, we had a crazy Palestinian / Puerto Rican Uber driver.
In Kansas City?
In Kansas City.
Puerto Rican?
No, it's not the Kansas City I remember. Wow.
Yes, we had no mask talk, by the way. So Mike and I She beat the shit out of us when we flew from Minneapolis to L.A. a week and a half ago. It was nonstop, just fucking on us like locusts the entire time. This time, same Delta, flew out, no mass talk, flew back, no mass talk.
Okay.
And we were equally as horrible with our masks. Just one cunt had a fucking, we got stuck in her craw and she had to fuck, she wouldn't fucking let it go. By the way, let me say this. There are people who can't let things go. Like they get stuff. They get stuff and they go after
it.
It's a little bit of a feminine, I would call a little bit of a feminine trait. But there are those people, male and female. Mm-hmm. I complain about a lot of stuff and have a lot of thoughts, but you cut me off on the freeway, I won't honk my horn. I don't care. I'm moving. My thing is like moving on. Like what's next? I used to teach traffic school. People roll in an hour late. I just go sit down. I don't care. They start giving me the whole story. Like I thought we were going to the I go,
nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Just sit down. Just sit down. I get paid the same. We're all going to be out of here at 3:30. I do not care. If you're a person that does care, that gets stuff stuck in their craw, like those people, I don't know how you test for it, but you should not be a fucking flight attendant. You should not be, because Mike and I, we crossed this bitch on Delta early, and that was it for her. Like, it was stuck. She was like, I could see her talking to other people and turning and looking at us, like, while she was, like, it got stuck in her craw.
There's an internal score that could not be settled.
If that is your wiring, fucking
stay out of that industry.
Or fly the plane. I don't care, but don't work it.
And what should you go into? The only thing that comes to mind is like repoing. I mean, where is it an advantage to be an ass like that and stay on somebody? Bill collecting?
Oh, my God. The time I drove off the tow truck was the time when the guy would not give it up. He was driving the tow truck. And he was like, I was just like, look, let me just give you $100. Like, I'll just go home. You know, I was like,
was
no.
Was that bribe, sir?
No, no. Like, that was, again, the greatest moment of my life.
Principled fella.
All right. We have some stuff to talk about. Somebody, so we were talking about Evel Knievel.
Oh, yeah.
And we're talking about
The biopic,
and we're talking about, Kalen, did you give me spots here? I don't know if I got the right spots here. Anyway, we were talking about Evel, and I forgot that Evel had... I did an interview with Evel on KLSX on
only
the morning
you would
show.
Forget that you interviewed him.
Well, I don't know if I forgot it. It's just I've interviewed so many people. Yeah. It was whatever. And
it was a phoner.
So he called in, and it was a good interview. And Gio found it, and he sent it to me, and we listened to it when we were on the road. And I was like, oh, Evil's one of the biggest icons of he's an American icon.
Yes.
And as I've said, haven't brought up in a long time, but when you do 20 questions...
I always think about that.
Do Evel Knievel.
He's the best.
No one will ever get it. They can never get it.
Is he an actor?
It's kind of...
Is he an athlete?
Well, yeah. I mean, kind of. Not really. I mean, he doesn't play football, but...
Is he a bad guy? Is he a villain?
No.
Wait, but we've all heard of this guy, right?
Everyone know. At some point, they'll get 15 questions and they'll go, are you sure this, you're not talking about the guy who played bass for Graham Parker, right? Like, this is a real, like,
the
I go,
cartoon character.
I go, I guarantee everyone knows. Household name. Everyone knows. Household name. And they go, is he on TV? Is he TV? Do we know him from TV? We know him from movies, or we know him from music? And they go, or we know him from sports. Evel Knievel will stump, and it'll drive everyone nuts. That's because good. He's the most universal, and nobody can get it.
Uncategorizable.
All right, so Gio sent us the interview,
awesome.
And we listened to it, and it's pretty good. Let me tell you about Scribd. With so much content out there, you might spend as much time looking for your next book as reading it. Scribd. Instant access to millions of ebooks, audiobooks, magazines, and more. Plus, thoughtfully curated editor's picks and smart recommendations based on what you've read. All for just $9.99 a month. Streaming, well, it's changed everything. We use it to flip TV channels, hoping for something interesting. Nope, not anymore. Now, We just pick from thousands of great options. Scribd does it for books. Wired and Forbes calls it Netflix for books. So ebooks, audiobooks, magazines, and more. My books are on Scribd, so you can check that out as well. So, Dawson, Scribd, what do you think?
Right now, Scribd is offering our listeners a free 60-day trial. Go to try.scribd.com/Adam for your free trial. That's try.scribd.com/Adam to get 60 days of Scribd for free.
All right, we will take ourselves a break, come back with the late, great Evel Knievel right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there, owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Adam, next time you go to a restaurant and they say they don't have iced tea, ask them for a cup of hot tea and two glasses of ice. It'll really piss them off.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Well, as I said, for my KLSX morning show, I interviewed Evel Knievel. He died like about a year later after this interview, but it was pretty thorough. You can hear Bald Brian dropping some, I think that must have been you doing some sound effects in the back.
I would have just started because it was Cinco de Mayo, my first day on the board.
All right. So this is, yeah, a couple months into your tenure over there. I think we can hear Dave Damaschek and Teresa Strasser on the mics as well. And this is my interview with Evel Knievel.
The Adam Carolla Show welcomes the greatest daredevil of all time.
And there is a noticeable air of nervousness and tension. Evel not even wanting to look down that ramp. And he's got it made. Evel, you did it again.
Well, another day, another dollar.
Yeah, you make it sound awful easy, but it isn't quite that easy.
Well, thank you, Bill. Every time I make a jump, I thank God when it comes down that I'm still alive, no matter how far I went.
You know, Evel, you're shaking a little bit.
Well, if you did what I did, you'd be shaken too, Bill.
Evel Knievel on the Adam Carolla Show.
Evel Knievel on the phone. Evel Knievel.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for being on the show.
You betcha.
Anybody who grew up with a television set in the time I did is a huge fan of Evel Knievel, watching him on Wide World of Sports. Still, I believe, has some records for viewership on Wide World of Sports. Do you not?
Do I, you say?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hold the number one all-time spot of viewing records, according to the Nielsen rating people. It's never been outdone, never, ever. I hold number one, number three, number seven, number nine, and number 12 out of the top 10.
Number one was for when you jumped Snake River Canyon?
No. Number one was when I jumped at Kings Island, Ohio, when I jumped the 14 Greyhound buses after I missed 13 in London, England.
Yeah, at Wembley, 90,000 people were there to cheer Evel on. And I'll tell you this, I've said it many times. Today's kids, well, they have their super bikes with their 13 inches of travel and the suspension and their mono shocks and everything. He was jumping on a street bike, essentially like playing basketball in cowboy boots. You have to be good to dunk in cowboy boots. I mean, the bike you were riding was modified, but it was a Harley. And it was essentially a street bike, right, Evel?
Well, not really. They were what was called a 750, XR 750. They used them for racing. The only thing that the bikes have nowadays that I didn't have was the what they call the mono shock. They had a lot better suspension.
Yeah, which...
Their suspension was probably... Oh, 12 to 13 inches when mine was an inch and a quarter, 3 inches at the most.
But your bike weighed a lot more than these bikes do today as well,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely. About 300 pounds more.
Yeah, so essentially, I mean, I'm just saying, if you compare the two bikes, it is night and day. And how about this young punk doing a flip over Caesar's Palace a few weeks back?
Well, you know, I've always said that through love for our children and education, evolution, and knowledge and wisdom that kids get from college educations, that things will always get better. It'll never change through life, and that's just the way it is. And
I got to tell you, though, if I were
cycle like they had nowadays, I'd have jumped over the moon. But you got to give them credit.
I'd be pissed off if I were you.
I'm not. I just realized it's happening. There's nothing you can do about it, and there's really nothing that I want to do about it.
You're a couple things. First, some highlights. I followed Evil's career very closely. One thing is some reporter wrote some smack about him, so he took a bat to him.
Oh.
I like that.
He don't write anymore.
Well, that's the way to get a retraction.
Evil not only took a baseball bat to a guy who wrote some smack about him, but then later on told the judge he would do it again, and I think tried to do it again, right?
Yeah, I got quite a record of punishment over the years, but I tell you what, I would do it the next time.
You would,
you know,
but
how that is.
But you were selling.
I'd send somebody after the guy.
At the time, you were selling millions of dollars of merchandise. I mean, there was Evel Knievel lunch pails, all those wind up motorcycle toys. I had neither because I was a Corolla, and they could be bought in a store.
Yeah.
Point is you were doing millions of dollars in the early 70s worth of this merchandise, right?
Yes, I was.
And you were rich 100 times over, and then you took a bat to a guy, and they pulled all your endorsements.
No, they didn't. That's
you got to watch your language, Evel.
They did not pull all the endorsements.
You continued to thrive.
I continued to thrive, and my toy was made by Ideal Toy Company. Ever heard of them?
Sure.
Well, they just rejoined a company called Slinky.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the Slinky?
Yeah.
Oh, Slinky?
Yes, what I call my penis.
They just brought the Evel Knievel toy out again.
Just recently.
This is the third time it's been out.
But at the time, it didn't hurt your career. It didn't hurt the endorsement thing at all.
I thought probably because of some of the publicity it did, but I'll tell you something. I went before so many men, Warren Beatty, Art Linkletter, I don't care who you name, John Frankenheimer, anybody in the motion picture business, told me that I had made more men friends out of men who are really men for taking a stand at the kind of jerks that wrote that crap about people than I'd lost men that were fans of mine. So
what did
you can please 50% of the people some of the time, that's all.
What did he say about you that made you take a bat to him?
Yeah, I was curious too.
Well, first of all, he said that I used drugs, which I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, he said that he got into my private life and said I hated my mother and loved my grandmother, which I didn't.
Hated them both or loved them both?
I loved them both.
Oh, okay. All right.
The drug thing with the kids, though, was the big thing that he said about me. That was just a lie. Incidentally, this guy's name is Shelly Saltman. Let's not skirt the issue on his name, okay?
All right.
His name was Shelly Saltman. Thirdly, he said that I'd been to bed with every woman in Butte, Montana. That's where I was born and raised. You know that my kids had to quit school over the incident?
Right. So, but Evel, you were quite a womanizer in your day, were you not?
Oh, I might have slept around a little bit where I hadn't have been supposed to, but let's not wash somebody else's doorstep when you might have done it yourself.
That's what I always say.
Yes, so you say this journalist was a womanizer too.
The journalist was an idiot, and he always will be.
Well, let's talk about Snake River. I got to say this, and then we'll talk about your son Robbie's jump. When I've watched Robbie's show, the stuff that he is doing is absolutely amazing. And again, it's technology, and it's sort of one of those things where it's hard to compare the past to the present. It's like I was talking about with basketball earlier. They weren't doing back then what they're able to do now. Maybe it's technology, maybe it's equipment, maybe it's evolution, maybe it's all of them. But your son Robbie is quite the daredevil himself. Yes,
he's doing it. He's a great jumper. He's doing carrying on things. In fact, he's going to jump here at Evel Knievel Days tomorrow night. He's going to make a huge jump. He's going to make a jump. I haven't seen him jump in years because Robbie and I haven't seen eye to eye on some things, but he's going to jump here tomorrow night at Evel Knievel Days. And then on Saturday night, there's a young man named Ryan Capes from Seattle, Washington, that's going to jump almost the distance of a football field on a motorcycle.
Oh, my God. 300 feet on a motorcycle?
300 feet on a motorcycle. Let me ask you something. If you had one of these brand-new motorcycles with all these great suspension things on that you talk about, I pointed you in the right direction, told you you had to go 108 miles an hour, and just to go ahead and hang on to the thing, go off of that ramp and go through the air and land and everything, it'd be okay. Would you do it?
No. No.
Oh, you wouldn't. That's the same thing that kept people from doing it 30 years ago when I did this, because that big hole in the middle just keeps people from doing it. They don't have the guts to do it.
Yes. I got to tell you, when you watch film of what Evel did or what Robbie does, you know, from the side, it's one thing. When you see it from their perspective, heading toward the takeoff ramp and how much space they have to cover in the air, it's amazing. And Evel, I'll say this, too. Your landing ramps, like the landing ramp at Caesars, was not very wide. I would have had that thing going all the way across the strip, 8 feet wide.
8 feet wide. 56 feet long.
Your landing ramp was 8 feet wide, which is the width of a sheet of plywood.
Yeah, and on a 150-foot distance, if you were off 6 inches at takeoff, you'd miss the whole ramp.
Didn't somebody famous take that famous footage of you crashing at Caesars?
Yeah, Linda Evans shot that for me.
Linda Evans?
Linda Evans, from Dynasty?
Isn't that John wacky?
John Derek shot the jump. Linda Evans shot the landing. No, I was doing a motion picture, going to start on a motion picture with John at that time, and he happened to come to Vegas that day to shoot that jump at Caesars, and we've been to Vegas together, he and I and Linda and my wife Linda, for several days, and John was there just to shoot that jump for me. He's the only one I gave permission to do it, and
so
look what happened.
The famous footage of you going over the handlebars and sort of coming at the camera...
Linda shot the whole thing.
It's a little piece of Evel Knievel trivia that a lot of people didn't know. So, and over at Snake River, the rocket cycle. Now, didn't you buy that part of Snake River Canyon?
No, I leased it.
Oh, you leased it because they wouldn't let you jump the Grand Canyon or what?
They wouldn't let me jump the Grand Canyon. It's a national park, and I had a lot of static from congressmen and senators that thought that it was a bad idea to make a fiasco there out of it.
Goddamn tree huggers. I would have taken a bat to all of them.
Anyway.
Are you kidding?
Get out the Louisville
Slugger. Anyway.
You wouldn't.
Barry Goldwater was the biggest defensive guy against it. But do you know what it would have cost me to do that and how much water I'd have had to haul to the site and the big problems that would have brought to me? In every adversity, there's an equivalent. See the benefit.
So you leased a stretch of Snake River Canyon.
Yes.
And then you did your rocket cycle jump. But the parachute shot out, deployed early.
That's what it did.
And you blame the engineers.
Well, the engineer finally said that he was the one at fault, that he'd made a mistake. He had electrical malfunction, blew the parachute right out on the launch pad. And I didn't have anything to do with it. I waited 7 years to jump across that canyon.
I'm surprised, though. I mean, here's the thing that's crazy about that Snake River Canyon jump, if you watch the footage. The cycle, the rocket takes off. It's got a huge rocket on it. It goes up this huge ramp, and right at the end of the ramp, the parachute pops out. Now, the rocket should have just burned away the parachute and burned away the cords, and then you should have just went sailing off into the canyon with no parachute. Somehow, the parachute stayed intact.
Well, let me tell you why. The parachute blew out on the launch pad. It didn't blow out after it got to the end of the ramp. It blew out on the launch pad and was trailing behind the rocket. And that was a steam-powered rocket. That was that was water. In other words, the rocket ran on steam. That's what our first railroad engines ran on. It was the most powerful, dependable motive of power in the world. That's why that thing didn't burn up, was because of the steam.
That and a little help from the big man upstairs, huh, Evil?
Yeah, you bet. That and a little help from him is right. I'll tell you something. If that motorcycle jump or that rocket jump across that canyon was so easy, here it's been since 1974 that I did that.
Mm-hmm.
And people said, well, if he hadn't done this or hadn't done that, he'd have made it and everything would have been all right. I could have done it. I could do it. I don't see any big long line of daredevils standing up there to this day wanting to jump that canyon, and God hasn't moved it one inch.
Yeah, the new breed of daredevils are pussies, I agree, except for your son. He's all man. He's a chip off the old Evil block. Hey, how's your health doing, Evil?
I've had a stroke in September. I had one in September.
Mm-hmm.
I had a liver transplant a few years ago. Still getting along fine.
Mm-hmm.
I have idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. I can hardly breathe. I'm on oxygen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
How old are you?
I would say 67.
67.
I wouldn't say things are exactly the best for me. I have hepatitis C and have been going through a bout with staph infection.
Where'd you get the hep from? All the blood transfusions and stuff?
All the blood transfusions in the 60s and the 70s just caused me havoc.
Mm-hmm.
And price you pay for success. That's just the price you pay for being a daredevil.
And no more jumping for you?
No, nothing. I just...
You live vicariously through Robbie.
Robbie's 44. Robbie's about done now.
Now, you guys, I feel like, because I watched this TV show, you guys are now talking. There was a while there where you guys were, you agreed to disagree.
Yep.
What was that over?
Well, Robbie, I'll tell you something. Certain times in society, certain things come up where parents say that's not the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
When I grew up, my parents didn't want me to drink all the time and guzzle beer, and they thought it was wrong for me.
I'm sorry.
They were right.
Oh.
They were exactly right.
That's right.
And now when Robbie came around, these things have been in society with the kids, the cocaine and the drugs and everything, a lot of kids got hooked on that stuff. It was within our society. It's the fault of our society. It's not the fault of the children. It's the fault of the society. We're fighting a drug war. We're not going to win.
But you got...
Now
you
kids get off on the wrong foot. The parents like me took offense to it. And some of the fathers and some of the daughters and some of the sons did not agree on what was going to happen and what was happening to society. And Robbie and I went through that. That's all.
You got Robbie into the business pretty early. I mean, he would travel around with you and do little stunts on the motorcycles and stuff when he was really young. A lot of folks don't want their kids to go the same dangerous path they went, but you encouraged him.
Well, I had four children, and Robbie decided that he wanted to do it, and I figured, what the hell, instead of having him do it in the wrong way, since I'm his father, why don't I help him do it in the right way so he won't get hurt as bad as I got hurt?
All right,
I thought I made the wrong decision, the right decision. I mean, I thought I did the right thing by him.
Well, he's making a good living, and he's jumping this weekend, right?
He's jumping this weekend, and this boy, Ryan Capes, Robbie's going to jump on Friday, mm-hmm. and this Ryan Capes is going to jump on Saturday, and there'll be probably 50 to 100,000 people here in this little town of Butte, Montana, which is a great community to see this, all of these motorcycle events. We've got the Vietnam Wall here. We've got motorcycle events, 3 days of them. The whole town is just packed, just sold out, and it's a bigger celebration than they have for St. Patrick's Day and the 4th of July put together.
All right. Well, Evil Knievel days at Butte, Montana. I'm heading out there. I'm going to gas up the hog and head out. I may jump that Vietnam Wall.
Up,
yes.
If you show up, I'm going to give you a free jump over the Vietnam Wall.
Thanks, Evil.
All right, buddy. Take care of
God
yourself.
Bless you. Evil Knievel.
Well, there you go. The late, great Evil Knievel. All right. Sonny Corolla is waiting in the wings. We're going to do the Rotten Tomatoes game. He's going to have some thoughts about the football season. Maybe give you guys a pick or two, and then we'll play the Rotten Tomatoes game with him as well. First, I'll tell you about Uprising Foods. Our food system, it's broken. It's making us sick. Uprising Food, well, it's fixing that. This stuff is so good. They have the sampler bundle. Two superfood cubes with four single-serve packs of Freedom Chips. Six products in three flavors. Sea salt, sourdough, and my favorite, the savory rye. I think about my old grandfather used to make the rye bread. Only two net carbs per serving. 6 grams of protein and 9 grams of fiber.
So where do I sign?
I shall sign you up right after the show. With a patent-pending breakthrough and psyllium husk activation, they made digestive health absurdly easy. It's like a biohacker and a high-end farmer had a baby. This stuff is so good. And like I said, they're all good. The sea salt's good. The sourdough's good. But the savory rye is my favorite. It is Uprising Food, right, Dawson?
Go to uprisingfood.com and use code Corolla to get $10 off the starter bundle. It's like a mini trip to the grocery store minus all the unhealthy distractions. And they ship directly to your door. That's uprisingfood.com and use code Corolla to get $10 off your order.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll get some football picks and do Rotten Tomatoes with Sonny Corolla right after this.
Pluto TV is playing the biggest movies every night this summer for free. Watch hit movies like The Matrix, G.I. Joe Retaliation, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Scary Movie, Runaway Bride, and more all summer long. Check out the biggest stars like The Rock, Keanu Reeves, Tom Cruise, Julia Roberts, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and more. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of free TV channels in English and Spanish featuring TV shows, news, sports, comedy, and more, all for free. Download the free Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device, including Android and Apple smartphones. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.